In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Today it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. Blessed be the name of the Lord. May the name of the Lord be praised, both now and forever. O God, our hearts thirst for you, like a dry, weary land without water. Father, pour out the water of the Holy Spirit upon us today, that we may be able to hear the Word of God and to be changed by the Word of God. Starting with me, blessed be the name of the Lord, both now and forever. From the rising of the sun to its setting, may the Lord's name be blessed forever and ever. I want to invite you to our yearly November retreat called Days of Glory. It is between November 3rd and 6th, 2016. That's next couple of weeks. So you are welcome. I will be there. Maria Vadia will be there. And there will be other people that are going to be there. Where is it held? At the Crown Plaza Holiday Inn, the same place, 15 Middlesex Canal Park, Woburn, Massachusetts. Woburn, Massachusetts, 01801. Days of Glory between November 3rd and 6th of this year. That's in a couple of weeks or in a week or so. And I want to tell you it's at Crown Plaza Hotel Inn, Crown Plaza Holiday Inn. Crown Plaza Holiday Inn. And that's where it's being held in Woburn, Massachusetts. This is our several time there, and we want to invite you to be with us because great things happen when God's people get together to worship God and to be instructed by the Holy Scriptures. I'm reading from Exodus 17, verses 8 to 13. In those days, Amalek waged war against Israel. Amalek is the one that Israel is fighting. Moses therefore said to Joshua, "Pick out certain men and tomorrow go out and engage Amalek in battle. I will be standing on top of a hill with the staff of God in my hand." So Joshua did as Moses told him. He engaged Amalek in battle. After Moses had climbed to the top of the hill, and Aaron and Hur, as long as Moses kept his hands raised up, Israel had the better of the fight. His hands raised up in prayer, but it also looks like a crucifix. Yes, as often as Moses kept his hands raised up, Israel had the better of the fight. But when he let his hands rest, Amalek had the better of the fight. Moses' hands, however, grew tired, so they put a rock in place for him to sit on. Meanwhile, Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and one on the other, so that the hands may remain steady till sunset. And Joshua mowed down Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! You see, I'm telling you, prayer. We have a crazy world. We need to pray for the elections. We need to raise our arms and pray for the elections. Our country is in dire straits. And you know, if we do not pray for the elections, we're going to get the worst of the evils. I say this year, we are fighting against the lesser of two evils is what we want. I heard the debate a couple of weeks, last week, and I heard Mrs. Clinton say that she was for abortion till the last day regarding the health of the mother. That's sick. That baby is able to live outside the womb. If the mother doesn't want the baby, give it up for adoption. So Mrs. Clinton is for abortion till the last moment. How sick that is. How sick that is. Trump is not for abortion. Now you have to make your choice. You have to make your choice. We need to pray for the country because things are really bad in the country. I tell you, there was a fight between Israel and Amalek. And every time Moses prayed with his arms raised, he won the battle. Joshua won the battle. We need to know that the ministry of prayer is by far the greatest ministry that we have. I hope you're praying for Father Tom. So many people have told me, I pray for you every day. Pray that I might be inspired to preach the Word of God in season and out of season. We see Moses with his arms raised in prayer, how we need to pray. And I'm reading from 2 Timothy 3:14-4:2. Beloved, remain faithful to what you have learned and believe, because you know from whom you learned it, and that from the infancy, Timothy, you have known the sacred scriptures, which are capable of giving you wisdom for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. How important it is for us to read the scriptures that lead us to Jesus, the Word of God. The Word of God leads us to the Word made flesh. And I continue. All scripture is inspired by God and useful for teaching, refutation, correction, for training in righteousness, so that one who belongs to God may be competent, equipped for every good work. We need to be in the scriptures. We need to be in the Bible. So many people are not in the Bible who listen to me. This week I gave a home lesson to the people that came to my mass, Exodus 1, 2, and 3. Exodus 1, 2, and 3, found at the beginning of the book, beginning of the Bible. I charge you in the presence of God, he's telling this to Timothy, and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingly power, preach the word. Be persistent, whether in season or out of season. Convince, reprimand, encourage through all patience and all teaching. I tell you, that's the name of the broadcast, that we preach the word when convenient and inconvenient, in season and out of season. How the church needs to proclaim Jesus in season and out of season, his death, burial, and resurrection, and that he's able to reach us by his Holy Spirit. How we need the Holy Spirit. We cannot do very much without the Holy Spirit. And I'm reading from Luke 18, verse 1-8. Jesus told his disciples a parable about the necessity for them to pray always without becoming discouraged. Pray, pray, pray without becoming discouraged. He said, there was a judge in a certain town who neither feared God nor respected any man. And a widow in that town used to come to him and say, render a just decision for me against my adversary. For a long time the judge was unwilling, but eventually he thought, while it is true that I neither fear God nor respect man, because this widow keeps bothering me, I shall deliver a just decision for her, lest she finally come and strike me. He's afraid of her because she's persistent. Are you persistent in your prayers? Are you continuing to pray? You say, I've been praying for years for my family. Continue to pray. You never know when God's going to break through. You never know when God's going to break through. Continue to pray. I want to tell you, you should pray and not get discouraged. You say, but my answer to these prayers have not come. Continue to pray. Continue to pray. The widow keeps bothering me. I shall deliver a just decision for her, lest she come and strike me. The Lord said, pay attention to the dishonest judge. and what he says. Will not God secure the rights of his chosen ones who call out to him day and night? Will he be slow to answer them? I tell you, he will see to it that justice is done for them speedily. But when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith upon the earth? In other words, if the unjust judge renders a decision, will not God, who loves us and gave us Jesus, answer our prayers speedily? You might say, but it not speedily. It's taken years. Keep on praying. Keep on praying. And the big question is, when the Lord returns from heaven to the earth, will he find faith upon the earth? Will there be people who live for Jesus? Will there be people who have faith? You know, where there is not faith, you want to know what? There are no morals. And you know, morals have gone down the drain. Why? Because God has gone down the drain. People do not believe in God by giving them his life. They might say, I believe in God, but that's not enough. They have to give Jesus their lives. And I'm telling you, when there is no Jesus and there is no God, there are no morals. Men will sleep with men. Women will sleep with women. People will kill people. I tell you, this is real. This is real. When there is no God, there are no morals. I want you to say that with me. When there is no God, there are no morals. Where there is no God, there are no morals. We need not only to be morally good, but first of all, our whole life must be rooted in the Good Shepherd, rooted in Jesus. Do you know what I'm saying today? Do you know what I'm saying today? This is so important. 2 Timothy 4, 6 to 8 and 16 to 18. Beloved, I am already being poured out like a libation. What does that mean? It was a drink offering that was thrown into the fire of the temple and poured out to the last drop. And Paul says, I'm already being poured out like a libation. In other words, my life has been poured out, and the time of my departure is at hand, the time for him to go to God. I have completed and competed well. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. From now on, the crown of righteousness awaits me. Have you finished the race? No. Have I finished the race? No. We must continue. We must continue to finish the race until the Lord calls us home. A crown of righteousness awaits me, which the Lord, the just judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but to all that have longed for his appearance. Do you long for the appearance of the Lord? Do you long for the coming of Jesus in glory? Oh yes, how we need Jesus to come in glory and rectify the sick world that we live in. The world that we live in is abominable. It has gone astray. You know why? Because there is no God in many homes. There is no God in many towns. There is no God in many cities. When there is no God, there are no morals. We need to get on our knees and pray that God will give us the president that he wants to give us. So important. So important. So important. I'm reading from Luke 18, verse 9 through 14. This is an interesting one. Jesus addressed this parable to those who were convinced of their own righteousness and despised everyone else. My God, we are not convinced of our own righteousness. Our righteousness comes from the blood of Jesus. I have no righteousness apart from the blood. I have no righteousness apart from Jesus Christ. But this man believed that he was a righteous man. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, the other was a tax collector. The Pharisee looked up in his position and spoke this prayer to himself. Notice, he's speaking to himself. He's not speaking to God. Oh God, I thank you that I am not like the rest of men, greedy, dishonest, adulterous, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes on my whole income. But the tax collector stood off at a distance and would not even raise his eyes to heaven. Why? But he beat his breast and prayed, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, the latter went home justified, but the former, because anyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and anyone who humbles himself shall be exalted. I tell you, it is so very important that we cry out to God, because God hears the cry of the poor. And we are poor and needy. There is no one that can stand in the presence of God and say, I have everything. I don't need you. Oh no, I am poor and needy. Unless the Lord give me himself, I would not be able to preach the word in season and out of season. I would not be able to give my life to Jesus. Those who humble themselves shall be exalted. Often I tell the Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. I need your mercy. I need your mercy. If you need the mercy of God, he will give it to you. I need your mercy. I am not righteous in my own power. I am in need of the mercy of God. Lord Jesus Christ, we remember the man who prayed, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Oh yes, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. And after he prayed that prayer, Jesus healed the young boy of epilepsy or demonic possession, whatever it was. And his prayer was, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Do you realize that you can't do very much? Do you realize that God can do wonders in you? Do you realize that he wants to give you the power to do what he needs you to do? Do you realize that? Do you realize that you're not alone? Do you realize that God is still on the throne and hears and answers prayer? Do you realize today that no matter what you're expecting or what you're facing today, God wants to give you the ability to face it with him. You might have big trials today, but you ask the Lord to help you. Lord, help me with this big trial. It's bigger than I am. I need your help. Will the Lord not answer quickly? If the unjust judge answers the woman, how much more will God, who loves us, who gave his son for us, answer his children? Much faster. But keep on praying and don't get discouraged. Keep on praying in season and out of season. Keep on praying. Don't get discouraged. Discouragement means to take heart out of you. Don't get discouraged. God has a plan for your life. He says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to give you a future and a hope. When you seek me with all of your heart, you will find me with you, says the Lord. You will find me with you, says the Lord. When you seek me with all of your heart, you will find me with you, says the Lord. Let us ask the Lord for the grace to seek him with all of our hearts, to seek him when convenient and inconvenient, in season and out of season. I'm going to begin the book of Romans, but starting with the 8th chapter and going to the end. And the scripture says, there is now, I want you to say now, now, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation if you belong to Jesus. There is no torment. He doesn't give you torment. He doesn't give you fear. He doesn't give you bad words about yourself, that I'm a jerk. No, that's not God. There is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Now, he says now. He wants you to believe that. You do not have to worry about, oh God, will you punish me? No, there is now no condemnation for those who love Jesus, who are in his will, who have been covered with his blood. There is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Do you walk after the Spirit, or do you walk after the flesh? Let me tell you a story. Sunday, a lady came into the rectory, and I was in my pajamas, and she wanted to see me, and so I asked her to come in. And she needed something, and my flesh said, don't give it to her. But I said in the Spirit, come back at 1 o'clock, and you'll get all that you need. You see, my flesh said, no, I don't want to be bothered. But you see, my Spirit said, yes, give her what she needs. So I did not walk according to the flesh. I walked according to the Spirit. And she was grateful. She was grateful. Oh, we had dinner yesterday, and we prayed over her. And she got what she needed. And that's all that matters. There was a fight between the flesh and the Spirit. And the Spirit won. The Spirit won. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. Alleluia. The law of the Holy Spirit has set me free from the law of sin and death. Why? Because our residence is in heaven. And as we wait for our Redeemer to come back again, we need to be faithful until the end. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Let me read that again. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. If you are a sinner, go to confession. I went to confession the other night. We need to go to confession. We need to confess our sins. We need to receive forgiveness from the Lord. There is power in the sacrament. I told you what one of the saints said. And she said, whenever I go to confession, I am under the blood. Under the blood. I tell you, we need to be under the blood. For what the law could not do, what could the law not do? It couldn't make us right with God. It couldn't make us right with God. Even if we practiced every precept of the law, we'd never be made right with God. What the law could not do, who did it? In that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. What could the law not do? The law couldn't make us righteous with God. The law couldn't make us righteous with God. How did we become righteous with God? God sent his only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into the world to die on the cross for us, to be buried and to be raised from the dead, so that we would be righteous in the sight of God through the blood of Jesus. Oh yes, through the blood of Jesus. You are righteous in the sight of God through the blood of Jesus. What the law could not do, it could not make you right with God. Can't do it. Can't do it. It's impossible. The law cannot make you right with God. But how does God do it? He sent his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. Where did he condemn sin in the flesh? On the cross of Jesus Christ, while his arms were stretched forth and his hands were nailed and his feet were nailed. That's how he made us right with God. He condemned sin in the flesh through his death, burial, and resurrection. Again, I want to invite you November 3rd to the 6th to Days of Glory. I will be there and Maria Vadia will be there. And it's at the Crown Plaza Holiday Inn, 15 Middlesex Canal Park, Woburn, Massachusetts, 01801. You might call one of these telephone numbers, 1 520 520-423-9290. One more time. 520-423-9290. Invite a friend. Come. God is going to be doing wonderful things because we're gathering in His name. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. November 3rd to the 6th, Days of Glory, at 15 Middlesex Canal Park at the Crown Plaza Holiday Inn. Hope to see you there. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.